Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We are going to dispense with our special feature this day, and we're going to get right into our Sunday school lesson. This is a Sunday school lesson about the Christian's hope that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of March the 20th, 1927. And in just a moment, we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's read our text. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. For we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verily, in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For indeed, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for this very thing is God, who gave unto us the earnest of the Spirit, being therefore always of good courage, and knowing whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body, and to be at home with the Lord. Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing unto Him. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now looking at Elam's notes, we see in verse 5 where it says, He that wrought us from this very thing is God. We are reminded of what we read in the 103rd Psalm in verse 14. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. God placed us in this longing after immortality. God has made all preparation for the future happiness of his faithful servants. Earnest is an assurance or pledge that a promise will be kept. God has confirmed what he teaches by signs and wonders and by manifold powers and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will, Hebrews 2, verses 3 through 4. Thus God has attested all his promises and all his teachings concerning all things through the apostles. This assurance or pledge we now have, filling us with joyous anticipation and glorious hope of the resurrection and eternal life herein set forth. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. What greater assurance can there be than this? These two verses, verses 6 and 8 taken together, are because the good courage which characterized Paul in all his labors, trials, and persecutions of various kinds and of the severest nature is emphasized, this same courage should be manifested by all. In the face of all these, Paul was of good courage because he knew that should he be put to death and thus be absent from the body, he would be at home with the Lord. To be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. The condition of the body does not affect the condition of the soul. The body becomes sick, grows tired, and sleeps or dies. Not so with the soul. The soul puts off the mortal body and puts on a spiritual or immortal one. It says in verse 7, "We walk by faith and not by sight." We do not know these things as they appear to the natural eye. It is by faith that we know them. We read in Hebrews 11 and verse 1, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen." In Galatians 2 and verse 20, "That the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Hebrews 11:10, "By faith Abraham looked for the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." In Hebrews 11:26, "By faith Moses looked unto the recompense of the reward." In Hebrews 11:13, we read, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them, and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith is believing fully and appropriating by obedience whatever God promises or says in regard to anything. Walking by faith is taking every step we make according to his directions. We cannot hope for anything which God hath not promised, or hope for that which he has promised without complying with the conditions upon which his promises are based. We cannot do by faith anything which God has not commanded. And so whether at home in the body or absent from it, and with the Lord dead or alive, Paul made it his aim to be well pleasing to the Lord. This is a grand and glorious aim, to be well-pleasing to the Lord, both here and hereafter, must be our only aim if we hope to be with the Lord. We can be well-pleasing to the Lord by obeying him. And verse 10 speaks of the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." Appearing before the judgment seat of Christ is one of the strongest incentives to be always well-pleasing unto him, and one of the most solemn warnings against displeasing him. No one can escape the judgment. In the judgment, one will receive the things done in his body. One will be judged according to this life, what one does here, not after death, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. God, not oneself, determines what is good or bad. Unto those who through faith in Christ obey him and continue steadfastly in well-doing, seeking for glory and honor and incorruption, God will give eternal life. But unto those who are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no respect of persons with God. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And then under this caption in this lesson about the Christian hope, we read, "One must be pure to enter heaven." Let me read 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. we know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him. For we shall see him even as he is, and every one that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Great is the love of God to accept us as his children. But it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. This must be left with God. Jesus will fashion anew the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. We shall see him, and we shall see him even as he is. These verses again place before us the Christian's glorious hope, the appearance of Christ in the body of his glory, what we shall be in being like him, are all matters of God's will and wisdom and goodness, and will be taken care of for our greatest happiness. Our one practical and daily concern is to purify ourselves, even as he is pure, and to be found in peace, without spot, and blameless in his sight. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That brings that Sunday school lesson to a close. And on the opening page, after the last page of that Sunday school lesson, we have a review of the studies of life in Christ. This is a review for the Sunday schools of March the 27th, 1927. The golden text is, "If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments." And the devotional reading is Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. And here we read, "After these things I saw, and behold, a very great multitude which no man could number, out of every nation and of all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes and palms in their hands, and they cry with a great voice, saying, Salvation unto our God who sitteth on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels standing round about the throne and about the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, These are they that are arrayed in white robes. Who are they, and whence came they? And I say unto him, My Lord, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they that come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them into the fountains of the waters of life. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes." And so we've had a great study. At the end is this little rhyme. If I don't have time to finish it now, I'll finish it in our next class. It says, "Let me go. My soul is weary of the chain that binds me here. Let my spirit bend its pinion to a brighter, holier sphere. Earth, 'tis true, hath friends who bless me with their fond and faithful love. But the hand of angels beckon onward unto climes above." We're going to complete that poem in our next class and begin a study of the life and letters of Peter.